You're listening to the Cornerstone Word of Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this teaching from Pastor Mark. For more information on our church, please visit cwol.org.
Glory to God. Well, let's look at First Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 in the Amplified. We've been talking about your identity. And I'll just say it again. I don't know, it kind of, you wonder why I say it like this, but I can't say it any other way. It seems the Lord is obsessed. He is overdoing it. He is making sure that you know who you are. Because if you don't know who you are, any lie from the devil will do. The devil, the god of this world, is trying to shape the body of Christ, trying to make it be politically correct and let go of what the Bible teaches us in the epistles. The Bible says in Romans 12, it says, don't be conformed to this world or this world system. The enemy is trying harder than I've ever seen him try to conform the body of Christ to what he has going on in the world. If you don't know who you are, you'll let someone talk you into who you are. The children of Israel, when they went into the promised land, only Joshua and Caleb knew who they were, and they knew who they were. They said, we're well able. Why did they say that? Because they knew who their God was. Amen. And so what do we need to know? Well, we need, who do you say that he is? Remember, Jesus asked that question. Who do you say that I am? It's good. I tell you who he is and who I believe he is, but who do you say that he is? And then everybody's obsessed with who are you? Because then they ask John the Baptist, who are you? He said, well, I can tell you who I'm not, so therefore I can tell you who I am. I'm not the Messiah, I'm not the Christ, but I am the one who prepares the way. In other words, he knew who he wasn't, but he also knew who he was. And so the Lord has been talking to us over and over again about your identity, about who you really are. Because when you know who you really are, then you can believe. But the Joshua and Caleb, knowing who God was and knowing who they were supposed to be, then they were able to go in and possess their possessions. Even to the very end, remember, I love Caleb. We don't get to talk too much about him. But at the very end, he said, that's the mountain God promised me. He was older, 80s. That don't seem so old anymore. He was older, 80. And guess what he said? Give me my mountain. Come on, give me my mountain. In other words, he knew what God had promised him. He knew who he was. And he said, I'm just as able as I was when I was 40 years old. God promised me that, and I'm going to get it. What? He knew who he was. Do you know who you are? And that's what we're doing. We're identifying who we are. Well, in 2 Timothy chapter number 2, it's where we've been looking. It says in the King James, it says, let's just do this for time's sake. If anyone enters into competitive games, he is not crowned unless he competes lawfully, fairly, according to the rules laid down. And so right above that verse, we see there's a soldier. Here we're looking at the athlete, and the third one we're going to look at is a farmer. And I want you to know that these three things are who you are all rolled into one. We looked at the soldier. What does a soldier do? A soldier fights. How many of you know a good soldier wins? How many of you know a good soldier wins? So we looked at how to be a good soldier in the army of God. Everybody say, I'm a soldier. That's part of who you are. These are not three things that we're taking a personality test to see which one you are. You are all three of these things. Say it again. I am a soldier. I'm an athlete. And I am a farmer. And you're going to live all three of these things at one time. And so you're going to take the attributes, because the Lord always taught us. So the Holy Ghost is teaching through the Apostle Paul to Timothy, and he's saying, you've got to be these three things. You've got to have these characteristics in your life so that you can win. And so you're a soldier, and so you fight. How many times do you win? It's not over until you win. I said it's not over until you win. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. You're a soldier, and he's given you weapons that win. And now we're going to look at an athlete. I guess we'll just get started on this. But I want you to understand that this athlete, he said, and anyone who enters into competitive games, he is not crowned unless he competes lawfully, fairly, according to the rules laid down. And then I want you to look at with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So we're going to look and see what kind of athlete the Bible talks about. You know, you and I, we live in an age where athletics, I mean, from the time we're children, I mean, here in Alabama, everybody loves their football. Where I'm from in Illinois, everybody loves their basketball. And there's all kinds of athletic games. So even if you're not a fan of athletics, you understand some things. And so he's comparing a soldier and then he's looking at an athlete. What does it take? What is it about an athlete that God wants us to know? So here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 24, it says, "Know you not that they which run in a race run all?" So everybody runs. "But only one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain" what? "The prize. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we do it to obtain an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run, not uncertainly, so fight I, not one that beats the air, but I keep my body under and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway." This is really important to the Lord, you all. This is really important to the Holy Ghost to help you get to where you need to go. So this thing about an athlete is not an afterthought, and this has been stirring in my heart for over a year now to get to this at the right place at the right time. So this is really important. I don't want you to tune out on me. I really want you to get this. You need to think of yourself in the realm of the spirit like an athlete. And what two athletes does the Bible talk about the most or we see? And there's not a whole lot of places, but here, he's likening you to a runner. And he's likening you to a boxer. In the time that the scripture was written, those were the two main sports that they would see. The marathon runner, the cross-country runner, the runners were even messengers. And the truth of the matter is, there was amateurs and there were professionals. And those that were professionals, those that would win these races in huge stadiums, they were highly honored, probably even more so than we esteem athletes today. And in our day, athletes are very highly esteemed. They're very well paid. They're very well thought of. But the truth of the matter, even back here, is they were even in higher esteem. When they would win things, the best of the best would not only receive a crown, to make and a trophy or whatever. I mean, they would receive houses and servants and more money than anybody else around them at that time. They were elevated to a very high place, but not everybody, just the winners. And so I want you to think about that. And what we're going to talk about probably the next time is how do you get to be that kind of an athlete in the realm of the spirit? And there are some natural applications that you can take because God wants you to get there. Why does he want you to get there? Well, a fighter, a soldier wins, but an athlete finishes and they finish first. The thing he wants you to know about an athlete, why he needs you to have that, is he needs you to finish. Somebody was laughing about it the other day with me. I don't know, I can't remember who it was, but I always talk about running a marathon in the natural. Anybody in the room ever run a marathon? Okay, I see them in good company. Oh, there's one. We got one. Oh, two. Okay. The percentage is low. Anybody ever run cross country in high school or college? Oh, we got a few more of those. I admire those people greatly. But I have some running shorts. I really do. And I've got a cool t-shirt that matches it because it's got a lot of stripe right here. And then I went and bought a pair of tennis shoes that I could run in if I wanted to. Just mostly use them for the elliptical. But they match too. It's almost too matchy-matchy. Sometimes I have to make sure I man it up a little bit and get all discoordinated in my colors, you know, where, so, you know, we're going to make sure we're not too matchy-matchy. But I could start, and it looks like many of you could do the same. But starting, aren't you glad the Bible didn't just say about Jesus that he is the Alpha? He's the beginner. It says he's the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the. And so in the realm of the Spirit, God doesn't want you to just start. He wants you to finish. And so that's the aspect of the runner that you're supposed to get. And we'll talk about him more in a minute. But then it talks about the boxer. And in ancient times, there were three kind of sports that were very brutal, where the men would fight as a boxer, a wrestler, and then they would combine the two. So all the times my wife's not in here for service, she's doing a guardian class, but I can tell her that when I watch the octagon, I'm being very scriptural. Because that was the biggest thing they did back then. They took the combination of boxing and wrestling, and it was very violent. And so the Apostle Paul, the Holy Ghost, is using some of those things because they understood them. And so the whole point is getting to the end. The boxer, in Ephesians 6:12, remember, we looked at the scripture, but it says, we wrestle not with flesh and blood. So he's trying to take it, you know this by being in a big stadium and watch people wrestling, but in the same way, I want you to know that you're wrestling, but you're not wrestling with flesh and blood. And you're wrestling from a winning position because Jesus already destroyed principalities, powers, all that stuff. He already took care of that. But the Spirit of God is trying to have you and I see that you're an athlete. But you're not just any athlete in the Spirit. You're a professional athlete in the Spirit. You're not just anybody. You're the winner. He wants you to understand. He wants you to be the winner. He doesn't want you, when you wrestle, he wants, you know, your hands held up high in the end. I'm the winner, like Rocky. Hallelujah. I'm the winner. You know, and sometimes, whether you like it or not, you are in a wrestling match. It's like being a soldier. This is not an option. You are a soldier in the army of God. This is not an option. You are an athlete. You've got to look at it that way if you want to finish. If you want to get to the end, you're going to have to see yourself with these characteristics and these attributes in your life and look at yourself that way. In the realm of the Spirit, I need to also be an athlete. I need to think like an athlete, do what an athlete does in order to finish. It is not enough to start. It is not enough to start. You are to get to the place where you stand before the judgment seat of God and hear what? Well done, good and faithful servant. You know, a lot of times people think the finish line is death. Some people think the finish line is getting to heaven. But neither one of those are finish lines for you in this room. Your finish line is the judgment seat of Christ, and you're going to go there. That is the finish line, but it's up to you, not up to God. It's up to you, not your spouse. It's up to you. No excuses there. Did you do what I asked you to do? And that's where you receive your crowns, based on what we did. That's why God is saying, that's why the Holy Ghost is saying, I need you to think like an athlete who thinks about winning. How many of you know we don't remember who got the silver or the bronze? You only remember who got the gold. You usually don't remember who got runner-up. You remember who won the national championship. Yeah. Amen. Why? Well, Pastor Mark, winning's not everything. In the realm of spirit, it's the only thing. I don't care what you all do in the natural, if you believe in participation trophies, but I'm telling you, there is none in the realm of the spirit. There isn't. You're not all winners unless you believe the word. We're not all... And everything we go into, we have to go into an attitude of, yes, Jesus won this victory, but I've got to enforce the victory, and I've got to participate. Yeah. I've got to get in there and make sure that I win this round, that I win this battle. Amen? And so let's look at being a runner a little more. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Familiar scripture to you, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I'm looking in the realm of the spirit at some star athletes who always win. We got a lot to celebrate with you winners. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with such a great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run. Everybody say run. Run with patience the race. Everybody say the race. The race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of faith. So every one of you in this room have a race. Every one of you, the Bible says in Psalms 37, 23, what? The steps of a righteous man are what? Ordered. What does ordered mean? It means that they're set out in front of you. In other words, your race is not the same as my race. Your race is not the same as your neighbor's race. Your race is the one that God has ordained for you while you were in your mother's womb. In other words, like every cross-country thing, the tracks are different. The marathon, the track is different. But whenever you're running, you've got to know the start line and you got to know the finish line and you got to also know the course. In other words, you can't make up your own. If you're gonna compete lawfully, you're gonna have to find your course. And it's never too late to find your course. Well, Pastor Mark, I wasted all my life. Well, guess what? Yesterday's gone. Today, we need to find our course. And we need to run on it. And we need to run with the purpose of winning. Every one of you and every born-again believer has a race to run. You know, let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. How many of you know the scripture was not written in chapter and verse? 2 Timothy was written in a letter from the Apostle Paul to a young pastor named Timothy. And so in 2 Timothy, at the beginning, chapter 2, where we see that, he's talking about being a soldier. He's talking about being an athlete. He's talking about being a farmer. Did you know in 2 Timothy 4, 7, he's talking about being a soldier. He's talking about being an athlete. He's talking about being a farmer. I have fought a good fight, soldier. I have finished my course, athlete. I have kept the faith, you're going to see when we look at it, farmer. I have done all three of the things the Lord has given me to do. Timothy and everybody reading this, I want you to do the same thing. When you get to the end, see, death is not necessary. Death's not your finish line. Because I know a lot of people who live all their life and they didn't make it to their finish line because really they kind of meandered in their life or they didn't even really get started really good. Now, how many of you know being born again and going to heaven sure do beat going to hell? But just because you made heaven doesn't mean you're going to get anything at the judgment seat of Christ. Except next, maybe. And that's not what you want to hear. You don't want to hear next. You want to hear well done. You want to get a crown. Because you want to put it at Jesus' feet. He's done so much for me. I've got to have something to give him back. For eternity, I've got to have something that I'm able to give him back. He did so much for me. I've got to have something to give him. I've got to. If you think that way, it'll cause you to live every day in the earth realizing you're in a race, and I will finish my course. I will finish my course. I will finish. Come on, everybody say, I will. Look at Acts chapter 20, verse 24, the Apostle Paul. Again, saying this. Oh, I love this scripture. This is a feisty athlete who knows who he is. Acts 20, 24. None of these things move me. He's in a wrestling position. He's looking at the big hill he's got to climb as a runner. None of these things move me. I don't count my life dear unto myself so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I received the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel, the grace of God. Everybody say, none of these things move me. I will finish my course with joy. Amen. So you've, as a runner, there's a course. As a runner, there's a path. As a runner, your steps are ordered of the Lord. And what are we trying to do? We're trying to get to the finish line. And we're going to win. Amen? Now, the difference about a normal marathon is there's only one winner. But really, in this way, you're the only one running your race. And so if you get to the end of it, you will win. Because your race is not my race. If you're, you know, some of us may have similar races, but you can't compare your race to anybody else's race. You've got to win your own race. And then it talks about a prize. And so we've been already talking about the judgment seat of Christ. But 2 Timothy 4:8, you know, we looked at 4:7, but let's go back. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Hallelujah. Thank you all for believing with me. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 4, hence 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Because it says, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not only me, but all of them who love his appearing. If you look at 1 Corinthians 9:25. Let's go back there. We were looking at that. Let's look at 9:25. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we do it to get an incorruptible crown. Philippians 3:14. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What is the mark? The mark, the finish line. What is the mark? My mark, my finish line is the judgment seat of Christ. That's where I'm going to receive my rewards. So the whole point of this wrestler, the whole point of this boxer, the whole point of being an athlete, of being a runner is I'm going to get to the finish line. And when I get to the finish line, I'm going to receive a crown. When I get that crown, Revelation 4:10, I believe it is, it talks about how the elders laid their crown at Jesus' feet. Now, if you graduated from Bible Institute around here or School of the Ministry, I've told you that every time. So I know we got a lot of Bible Institute graduates, and I've told you this before. But this is such a big part of our life. If you'll live this way, if you'll live this way, if you'll live like I'm about to stand in the judgment seat of Christ, you'll obey him. You'll keep running your race. How many of you know, as a marathon runner, sometimes I understand, I don't know it for myself, but I understand they hit a runner's wall. No matter how much they've trained, they hit a wall where they just, their body doesn't want to go or they don't want to go. And a lot of times it's mental. How many of you know in a wrestling match, if you got, you know, if it was divided into rounds, you know, in the first round you got pummeled and your nose is broken and you got blood. Was that right? You got blood coming out your ears and your whatever. I mean, you just feel beat up. But how many of you know that you can still win? How many of you know it's not over till you say it's over? It's not over till you tap out. That's why I tell you what I learned from the octagon is in the realm of the spirit, you better not have a tap out. The devil will search for your tap out. And when he finds your tap out, he will keep on you. Don't you let out of your mouth, I can't do this anymore. Don't you let out of your mouth, I quit. Don't you let out of your mouth, I give up. Because the greater one on the inside of you, well, if you'll listen to him, he'll help you get through it. And sometimes I know the match or the race seems like it's going on and on and on and on. But you know what? If you'll keep your eyes, Hebrews 12:2, you'll keep them on Jesus, you'll be able to make it. I'm jumping ahead of myself. So, but let's look at that. So what would keep you from winning? What would keep you from finishing your course? Let's look at these scriptures again. And there's things in all of them that tell us the enemy's tactic to get you to tap out, to get you to quit running your race, to get you to sit down and quit. In 2 Timothy 2:5, 2 Timothy 2:5. Everybody say, I will not be defeated, and I will not quit. 2 Timothy 2:5. And if a man also strive for the masteries, he is not crowned except... The Amplified said what, remember? It said, he is not crowned unless he competes lawfully, fairly, according to the rules laid down. What in the world does that mean? There are no rules laid down. Oh, there's a law laid down in the new covenant. And I know people don't think you're under any laws today, but you're under some natural laws where you don't like it or not. You're under the law of gravity. The law of sowing and reaping works whether you like it or not. I mean, in the world, they've adapted this from the Hindu religion. Everybody says it. I even hear Christians say it. They say, well, you know, that's karma. Well, I don't believe in karma. I believe in sowing and reaping. Yes. But it is a principle that religion copied from the Lord.
That's right.
Sowing and reaping. I believe in that law. The law of faith works.
Yes.
It's a law. The law of giving and receiving works. It works. But the law you and I are supposed to live under is what? Love the Lord your God. Yeah? And love your
neighbor.
You're under a law. And if you don't run your race under that law, you're not competing lawfully. And you're not going to finish. You're not going to finish. Because see, you can be the best soldier, but if you're not, you know, and you can have won a few battles and be really proud of it. But as an athlete, if you're not competing lawfully, if you're not walking in the law of love, if you're not doing that, then you're not going to finish. I didn't say that. The Holy Ghost said that. How many of you know how frustrating it is if you've trained and you've practiced and you've competed and yet you can't get to the finish line? But he says the way to get, you're not going to be crowned except you compete lawfully. And that means by the rules. Well, the Lord has set some rules down. And so it amazes me. It's different in our church. We were just at Bible Institute, and I think it was the first 1,000 graduates. You know, they love Pastor Rhonda's Love Walk class. I finally got an honorable mention in there, but, you know, some of the others did as well. But I'm saying that to say people don't realize it because most of the people in the body of Christ don't teach a lot on love. But it's the subject that I've seen over the years seems to be the most necessary because it's the one we all have the most trouble with. Why do you think that? Because the devil is not ignorant of Scripture. And he knows what to really push on to get you to tap out. If he can get you in unforgiveness, it causes your race to stop. It causes you to be getting to put in a wrestling position that chokes you out. So you've got to determine, I am walking by the law of love. God is number one in my life. I love him with all my heart, all my strength, all my soul. And I'm not going to get mad at you no matter what you do. Now, I've had a lot of opportunity recently to really work this one out. There's a difference in whatever going on out here, letting it get in your heart and letting a root of bitterness take over. You can forgive someone while they're in jail, while they're wearing orange, while they're cleaning up along the highway. You can forgive someone because it's not about them, it's about you. Don't let it be a double whammy. Don't let someone do something to you and then you get a root of bitterness in your heart. We got to walk in love. It's the law which we compete by. It's how you finish your course. You got to make up your mind. You can't offend me. You're not going to offend me. You can be the most offensive person in the world, but you're not going to offend me. Well, you've not had people do to you. Well, we can match each other for story for story. We can pass a mic. I can get everybody to talk about somebody who did them wrong. Someone who's even shy. They got people. I'll tell you about it. Why is that? Why won't people confess the word, but they'll tell you who did them wrong? Because the devil works the hardest to get you out of love. Amen? Come on, we're going to stay in love, right? Galatians 5:7. You did run well. So you were doing good in your race. Who did hinder you? Galatians 5:7. You did run well. But who? Not an owl. Who? What's the person that got you out of love? Who did it? Who got you out of love that you should not obey the truth? What circumstance? What person? Who did that to you? Why would you let anyone do that to you? You were doing so well. You let someone's offense offend you. If you've heard Pastor Rhonda's love walk teaching, you know what happens a lot of times is when someone gets offended, they get a root of bitterness and it springs up and it begins to defile. That word defile is rape many. And then their offense gets off on you, and then they can get forgiven, but you've picked somebody else's offense up, and you don't have the grace to get rid of it. Come on, don't let people around you use your ears for throwing some weeds and some offense in there. Amen. Stay away from it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. There's things in here. Again, let's read that one. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. How many of you want to finish your course? Oh, I want you to finish. Does the Lord want you to finish? Yes. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's at the end. Hallelujah. He is your end. Wherefore, seeing also, we're compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. Number one, if we want to finish, what do we got to do? Lay aside anything that's weighing you down. How many of you know you don't run a marathon with weights on you? You don't run cross country with weights on you. That would be silly. But what is weighing you down? And then it separates it and it says, and the sin that does beset us. So we got to keep away from any weights in our life. So I'm going to have you to pray a prayer right now that the Holy Ghost is going to answer right away. Everybody ready? Let's do it this way. One hand to heaven. Lord, if there's any weights in my life, I ask you to reveal them to me, and I will deal with them. If there's any sin, convict me. I will listen, I will repent, and I will obey. Why? Because I want to finish my course. I want to finish my course. I want to finish my course. Amen. Then it says, run with patience. So what does that mean? Well, not to run with impatience. By faith and patience, you inherit the promises of God. So I'm patient, because aren't you grateful the Lord is patient? Oh, has he been patient with you? You know, it's funny, we want him to get everybody else, but we want mercy. Lord, they did me wrong. You saw it. Get him, Jesus, get him. Get him, Jesus. Teach him a lesson, Jesus. Then you do something wrong. Oh, Father, I ask you for mercy. Show me your loving kindness. You are good, Lord. You are good. You're good. You're good. You're good. Hallelujah. Isn't he good? Whatever you sow, you reap. Amen. Then you look there in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Gives you some clues of what you've got to do in order to finish. Number one, you got to be temperate in all things. I don't run uncertainly. In other words, I'm not just picking my course and running wherever. I'm going to find the course for my life and I'm going to run on it. I'm not running uncertainly. I'm going to run sure. I'm going to run in the direction the Lord gave me. Then with a boxer, he said, don't beat the air. How many of you know it's a lot of wasted energy not to hit your target? I'm not going to fight as one who beats the air. And then it says, I'm going to keep my body under. Well, that's a good one. We could spend an hour or so on that. But then Philippians 3. How many of you want to win? How many of you want to finish? I'm going to leave you with this one. Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. One of the things that really mess us up is always looking over our shoulder, trying to deal with our past. But when you receive Jesus, I said, when you receive Jesus and you receive the forgiveness that he offers because of his blood, it'll change your life forever. Hallelujah.
We hope you were inspired by today's message. If you want to hear more from the Word of God, head over to cwol.org, check us out on YouTube or any social platform under @CWOLMadison. We believe God is working within you, and we want you to know him so you too can make him known.